Good morning, comrade. This is Good Morning, Comrade. You're listening to us on Thursday. It is the 4th of June.
It's my birthday.
Tomorrow's your birthday?
Happy birthday.
The 4th of June.
Oh, June 4th. Happy birthday. I didn't realize that. Oh, I didn't get you anything. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I got two cakes delivered already.
What kind of cakes?
Whoa.
A chocolate cake. Ooh. From Bittersweet Confections. It was so good. Mm. Not sponsored, everybody. Not sponsored. And then one that I haven't opened yet. That's apparently from Robert's mom.
Ooh, man, I want cake.
June 4th. What would that put you astrologically?
Yeah.
I'm a solid Gemini.
You're all
okay.
Solid Gemini.
My mother.
I don't know any of those.
My mother-in-law's a Gemini.
Oh.
I feel attacked right now.
No, I like Joe's mother-in-law. She's great.
Well, let me read to you. Why don't you finish the intro, which
yes.
I so rudely interrupted because I am a Gemini. While I
Gemini
pull up the characteristics
shit.
Of a Gemini mm-hmm. that we can read together on air, because that is the content that Good Morning Comrade listeners are here for.
Yeah, and you can check out this beautiful.
I mean, yeah, it has been a pretty slow week.
Yeah, nothing is happening. There's no, like, society is not just falling apart. Donald Trump did not just, like, order military occupation of all of our cities. That didn't happen. Everything is good.
So
in the
I'm
middle of a pandemic.
Some sarcasm in your tones, mm-hmm. and I think the implication is that my birthday is not more important than the current civil unrest, and I really resent that.
No. Very Gemini.
The birthday is good.
That's
why we came in hot with it. Mm-hmm. Then
Thank you. Slightly
changed the subject.
Yeah, our top story, Aaron's birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What did you get her, Scott?
Everybody.
Oh, man. I got her the same thing I always got her. A good performance on the next episode of Good Morning, Comrade.
Oh, yeah. Camaraderie
and friendship
attention. Forever.
Yeah.
That's all I really need. But, yes, let's talk about civil unrest.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody...
A lot of Geminis out there, aren't there?
If by adaptable, outgoing, intelligent, but kind of indecisive and impulsive... And unreliable, maybe. Maybe there are a bunch of Geminis out there.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a one-to-one comparison.
Yeah. Sounds like the NYPD.
You kind of got in the weeds a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like the NYPD to me.
Also, fun fact, when I was 2 years old, Tiananmen Square happened.
Oh.
So that was on June 4th, 1989.
Very relevant right now.
So very relevant. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, it's a time of rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
For nation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
are things going great. Are you saying that we're China now?
No, because our food isn't as good.
Damn, I love it.
So, you know. But yes, what has been happening?
You and Robert have been going, or at least you have gone to some of the George Floyd, also there was a guy named Modesto Reyes on the West Bank. There have been protests because he was murdered by police last week, but there have been protests throughout the country, and you went to some of the ones in New Orleans. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the New Orleans ones have been peaceful. We went to the ones on Saturday, and we talked about that a little bit for our Tuesday show. And we have not been to the other ones this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're planning on going to the ones towards the end of the week. I've been working this week. And they've been peaceful. Mm-hmm. They've been powerful. There's been a lot of footage. The protesters took over I-10, which is, if you're not familiar with New Orleans, is a high rise. It's an interstate highway, but it's like it's a high rise that goes through the middle of the city, and it was built specifically through kind of like the middle class, like mm-hmm. black business and like mm-hmm. just neighborhood. So that it's, you know, it has a lot of symbolism in that way. And it just, there was some like really great footage. I really encourage you to check it out if you haven't seen it already, because it's wonderful. But, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about this a lot on Tuesday. But it's not that our protesters have been doing things any differently than the protesters in other cities. It's just that our police are
The cops have pulled less shit.
Better.
Yeah, the cops have pulled less shit here than they've pulled in other places. Let's put it that way.
They've got better home training.
Not to say they don't pull shit.
No, they absolutely do.
But
they do all the time.
We do have a bit of civilian oversight in the city, don't we?
Yeah. So we have a police monitor. So it's an independent police monitor, and that's something that you know, any civilian can join if they want to. And then we also have, we talked about this on Tuesday as well, is the consent decree, in which because NOPD, well, so we're specifically under consent decree. Well, number one, like the Danziger Bridge, which is when basically police opened fire on unarmed civilians during Katrina.
And burned bodies.
And burned some. Oh, yeah, that's a fun fact that I always forget.
Don't forget about the cover up.
I wonder why my brain always just shoves that right out. Mm-hmm. So there was that, but then also our sex crimes unit was just like not doing anything. Like you would report a sex crime and they would say, okay, thanks. And then that would be the end of that interaction. This came out because a 2-year-old, was diagnosed with chlamydia, and it was reported, and then the case was closed because it was considered consensual.
Yikes.
So that, to give you a little background on like why NOPD is currently under a consent decree, and that was a while ago. That was like at least 10 years ago. And they've actually, to give them credit where credit's due, they've really improved in a lot of ways. They have, and I can't remember, I just saw it online. I can't remember the actual name, but there's this program, like all NOPD officers are trained in, and it's essentially de-escalation techniques for cops. Mm-hmm. So it's like for cops to de-escalate other cops. essentially the situation that we're all protesting right now with George Floyd being asphyxiated by a cop, the other cops who were standing near him would have theoretically stepped in under this program, under this training.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mardi Gras. Like, there's just drunk assholes everywhere in Mardi Gras. So they're used to kind of unruly crowds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like really interested to see what's like popping off in Jefferson Parish. Like I'm like debating whether we should go to the protests happening there, but I should really be a stronger person and like willing to put my body on the line. But I'm like, mm-hmm. Jefferson Parish police are like, I feel like I'm going to get hurt if I go to that one.
I am considering going to that one tonight, as of broadcast. It'll be tonight, the 4th. And I can give more information on that in just a moment. But yeah, it's going to be, so Modesto Reyes was murdered by police in Jefferson Parish last week. I believe it took place in Marrero. And that happened just before the absolutely jaw-dropping... I mean, I guess it's jaw-dropping in the sense, and definitely, you know, if you're... Don't go just by posting this information or this video on your fucking Facebook wall or anything. But like, if you have the stomach or whatever to watch this video, or you know, you don't have to do any of that. But it's just this absolutely unbelievable situation where George Floyd, this is one that's been sort of sweeping the nation. He had his neck just laid on by a cop in Minneapolis, and he stayed on there for about 8 minutes while 3 others. Just watched, and finally, I think it was last week, this guy whose name I don't even remember, but he He got charged, and then the charge was actually upgraded today when Keith Ellison, the state district attorney for Minnesota, sort of took over the case, and all the other police officers were charged, which is good, which means that the protests are working.
Yeah, and let's not get it twisted. Mm-hmm. He was not charged before the protest started. Yeah. And I understand that these things take time, and so there could have been some stuff in the works, but I have seen so many bad faith arguments that he's charged, justice is served, like, let's go home. And I'm like, nope.
There's actually a lot of like signs that go the other way, because they had that like coroner's report, and they were just like, well, anything could have happened.
Yeah, there was a fake, there was like a fraudulent coroner's report that came out and all this, and people have been coming out and showing, you know, support and solidarity, demanding justice for George Floyd and for all of the people who have been murdered by police over the years. I mean,
I mean, they did an independent coroner, mm-hmm. and they were absolutely like, this is a murderer mm-hmm. by asphyxiation. Yeah. And then pretty soon after that, they released those charges. And as of the recording, all four are in jail.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't believe in jail, but you do still love to see it.
Mm. If anybody belongs in jail, it's cops.
Yeah. Yeah. Only prison abolition except for cops. I also want to just, because this came up like quite a few times actually in the with some of the speakers at the event we went to on Saturday, it was ruled a homicide. And I just want everybody, like, that when you're like dealing with like medical terminology, a homicide just means it wasn't death by natural cause. Or something could be a homicide and still not be a murder,
have someone charged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that we just don't want to like get in the weeds of like terminology. Cause I think sometimes that can be really confusing if people are like, well, they said it was a homicide. Like, why was this person not arrested immediately? And it could be like, okay, if you kill someone in self-defense, like that would still be considered a homicide in medical terminology. Or, I'm not a medical person.
Neither am
but
I. But
there are things that we would be considered homicides that would not be actual murders.
Yeah, you're saying a homicide isn't a murder.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it was initially charged with third degree manslaughter, which is a different, like a level that's different,
way lower case. Like
yeah,
way lower degree.
Which I mean, it was recently upgraded. The guy who murdered, you know, George Floyd.
I believe they upgraded to a second degree murder.
I was just about to say that it was upgraded to second degree, which means that there's a higher standard and a higher punishment.
Also, as opposed to a first degree, which is harder to prove, so I think they're going for like kind of the dunker.
Yeah, well, no, so first degree murder is it's almost impossible to prove because it you have to prove premeditation. So first degree murder would only be like, if they saw in his diary that he was like, I'm going to go out and murder like so-and-so
today. Specific person, yeah.
Second degree murder would be, I was in a fight and then I brought my gun out and like shot somebody because it's like heat of the moment. And then manslaughter would be, I wasn't intending to kill them, but my actions still contributed to their death. So if you do, like, let's say you get into a fist fight, someone, you punch someone, they fall, hit their head on the curb and die. That was like, you weren't intending to kill them with your punch, but they still died. So you're liable. And that's usually the easiest to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of these like controversial cases will get
manslaughter,
have that kind of lower determination, because it's more of a, like, I can't remember which case it was.
Well, there are, I feel like there are certain like considerations, like if you do like a no contest, they might like move it down to manslaughter or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's always better to charge up, I think, because that way, like, I mean, we're a nation of like plea bargains, and so it leaves more room for like people to plead.
Yeah, that's got its own set of problems, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, and the entire system is like truly fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, negotiating for like what crimes you're gonna be tried for is a little bit kind of weird on its face, but yeah, it's really, I don't know, it's a really difficult situation, and like, regardless, I mean, what happened in that video happened. And this guy, this cop, like literally leaned on the neck with his knee of George Floyd for 8 minutes. And, you know, he died because of it, regardless of that. And people have rightly gotten, and it's sort of a combination of the fact that this happened and we have been so like isolated from coronaviruses, and everything sort of kind of came together at the same time, don't you think? There's like a really different, yeah, like a really interesting synergy about it, because there's so much energy and there's a lot of danger as well, because coronavirus isn't gone. It's just not the top thing that everybody's talking about anymore. And I'm not saying anything in terms of like judgment for like what people should or shouldn't be doing, but it's sort of like, it takes a lot of guts to get out there in the midst of all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about this because it really does. So, again, we talked about this a little bit before, but I just, like, I've been having a really, really tough time. And I feel so much better now. And I feel like it should be the reverse. And I was, like, kind of trying to figure out, like, why I audit, like, I all of a sudden feel, like, this, like, intense sense of relief. And it's because I've been, like, I feel like I've been watching this like long, slow, and not that slow march to fascism for like a while, and just feeling like insanely powerless to stop it, and just like not knowing what to do, and like trying to go on like Twitter and be like, guys, like it's fascism, we're like, this isn't good. And then that's not feeling productive. And then it's just been like, I kind of shut down, and now it's like, I just feel this like intense sense of relief that I'm like, oh, fuck. Yes. Everybody sees it too. Like, we're like, I don't know what's going to happen from here, but like, thank Christ. Like,
yeah, people,
I am not alone in these feelings.
And, yeah. And people, like, where there are people, there is power. And the, and Matt Crispin talked about this with us on the show, is that part of the sort of like extremely alarming part of the whole coronavirus thing was the fact that not only were people sort of like situationally isolated in their own specifics of their job and whatever, but they were physically isolated from one another because of the nature of the coronavirus situation, right? And you know, there is, when people are able to come together around, in spite of all this stuff, there is power in that, a lot of it. I mean, it's significant, and it's a beautiful thing to see. I've not been able to get out there myself quite yet. I would like to. I have my own sort of concerns in terms of bringing, you know, coronavirus and to my family and things like that.
Yeah. So, can we like also like pause, and because of coronavirus, let's like not make any snap judgments about other people's like
choices
as far as demonstrating or not, because coronavirus is still very, very real and like very, very present. So your neighbor might be super down for the cause, but like living with their family member who has an organ transplant. So like, maybe let's just keep the judgments to ourselves.
And there
in that way.
And I'm not, and there are ways to participate and contribute in ways that are empowering, that are not physically showing up if you're unable to. I mean, there's, you know, there's outreach, there's communicating in terms of getting bail funds together, because another component of this has been the way that cops have responded. And oh my God, I mean, across the country,
so
cops have just become
dumb.
I mean,
like,
I
fascist
know,
and dumb.
I know they know exactly
so
what they're
insulting.
Doing. They know exactly what they're doing, though, don't they? They're trying to essentially use their violence to quell the protest. I mean, and that's purely what it is.
Oh, sure, but they're doing it in the dumbest fucking way possible. It's like, it's like insulting. I'm like, I personally feel insulted that they don't feel the need to like try and be any slicker than they're being right now. I'm like,
brazen.
They are shooting MSNBC reporters live on air with rubber bullets. Like,
they arrested a reporter live on air. They arrested a reporter, put him in handcuffs while they were broadcasting.
So dumb. But honestly, I think that is, so I think what you were saying earlier is like, there's this like intense sense of solidarity because I think are all kind of understanding what community means to us and how, even though we like all our, I mean, we're doing, we're recording this over Zoom. Like, we all can still be connected. It's still not the same. But then there's also the added element of, I think a lot of people in this country just truly did not understand how deeply fucked like our systems are. And they, I think a lot of people had this sense that, okay, well, like, when push comes to shove, people will do the right thing. And like, I like someone will help me. And then coronavirus came and it was like, oh, you lost your job. Fuck you. Like, oh, you lost your health insurance. Have some Cobra. Like, oh, you, there's going to be a bunch of like armed white men protesting at the state house. Great. Sounds wonderful. Oh, you're gassing a 12-year-old. Great. Wonderful. I think there's this sense that like the, as if Robert was here, I'm sure I'm, he's going to be so mad at me because I don't remember the names of any of this, but it's like that thing where you put the sunglasses on and then you see the aliens.
They live.
They live.
You feel like you're the one that's being gaslit. You see, you see these sorts of things that are happening and every single person feels it, but they feel that they're too afraid to communicate it because they don't want to be the one that sort of like, they don't want to, it's scarier in a sense to like point something out and everybody just sort of like keep going on, oh sure, yeah, whatever, you're crazy, you know, even if they believe you, they're just too
afraid.
That's
literally been me. I'm like, I kind of am like, hey family members, I know you all think I'm a conspiracy theorist, but how many of you are posting that you just don't understand how this happened? And I'm like, hey, scroll back a few fucking months. And I've been, and you guys have all been saying that I'm crazy, so I mean, I would very much prefer that this like doesn't happen, but this is a pretty solid I told you so moment for me.
And it doesn't even necessarily always get through either, even in these dark situations. I mean, you know who's not taking this particularly well? Scott.
Who? Is the New York Times?
Well, the Tom Cotton, yeah, definitely doing an article saying send in the troops to occupy our cities. Donald Trump, the president, is literally sending it, like saying it, that he's encouraging governors to like send the National Guard in to break up protests, calling them riots,
and
if they don't do it, I'll do it for you, and like sending in federal troops. It's psychotic. And then people like Drew Brees are just like, actually, I'll just never take a knee. Colin Kaepernick's crazy.
Wait, before we go to Drew Brees, there's that big-brained like guy who works at the New York Times, and he's like, hey, guys, I don't agree with a single thing that Tom Cotton says, but I think he should be able to say it so we could counter his arguments.
Yeah.
And like in this time where like all these businesses are shut down, it's good to know at least the marketplace of ideas is still open. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was really worried about it.
Is Dave Rubin
fucking die. That phrase makes me, I'm so mad at you right now. Why did you have to ruin my evening, Scott?
Sorry.
Marketplace of fucking ideas. Oh my God, I'm so angry.
Sorry. That's what you wanted me to do.
Scott, happy, it's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Okay? So don't bring those things up.
Well, sorry. I didn't mean to take something for you on your birthday.
My God.
Before we get off
there's nothing sacred.
Before we get off Tom Cotton, though, like, he is one of the people that genuinely scares the shit out of me. Seriously.
Did you see that picture of him in Iraq, like on a bunch of stolen gold?
he's like the guy who thinks he can kind of come in after Trump, and he sort of like hitched his wagon to that whole thing, and he's always done the white nationalist thing for a long time. But when
Tokugawa, right?
Well, but he's coming in and he sort of like he's like way smarter than Trump. But he also knows that he can sort of like, by associating with him, he can kind of like essentially absorb all of that energy without saying any of the stuff. You know what I mean?
He's the George Bush.
Yeah.
He's going to come after Reagan and be like, I'll just be the Reagan Jr.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. And I have not been paying any attention to Tom Cotton, and I've seen his name so much, and I like honestly really thought he was from Animal Crossing.
No, that's not.
So this is a revelation to me today.
Now you're really gonna get Jeff going.
I'm kind of Tom nooked out, so I've done it so many times already.
You're done with all your like massive brains like theories about how he's ruining the market.
Tom Nook is a tyrant. Tom Cotton is a fascist. Okay, it's not fair to Tom Nook.
Oof.
Well, so yeah, I don't think I have a ton to contribute on Tom Cotton because I really did not realize that was a person and not.
The less you know, the better.
For a while.
So here's just a little sample. Outnumbered police officers encumbered.
Jeff, it's her birthday. She asked not to hear about it.
Encumbered by feckless politicians, bore the brunt of the violence. Cops are the victims. In the New York State, rioters ran over officers with cars on at least three occasions. Cops were driving over protesters, not the other way around.
If you've ever been to New York, like, the only people who have cars, like, left, like, against medical advice for coronavirus like, a long time ago, so.
And by the way, in Las Vegas, an officer is in grave condition after being shot in the head by a rioter. How many fucking cops have shot people in the street? And I'm not like defending necessarily shooting cops or whatever.
I have a real problem with the wording of that. Mm-hmm. Grave is not the word they should use. Like,
it should be in the grave.
It definitely implies like it's something worse going on.
Well, no, I think he died. Did he? They like shot him in the head. So grave, I feel like fit.
No, grave means you're just doing bad, but you know.
Oh.
It's too close to like being dead.
He's not in the grave. He's in grave condition. Okay. Anyway, some elites have excused this orgy of violence in the spirit of radical chic, calling it an understandable response to the wrongful death of George Floyd.
Wait, this is Tom Cotton's.
This is Tom Cotton writing in the New York fucking Times.
Oh my God.
Why do any of us still read the New York Times?
I don't. I'm reading it right now because this is what we're talking about. This is what they're fucking publishing. The biggest newspaper in the United States is just running this, you know, this essentially like fascist propaganda, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's uncritically. Brett Stevens and
marketplace
Tom
ideas.
Cotton jacking each other off, apparently, in like the name of free speech. I don't like this.
Literally, the title of the article, Tom Cotton, send in the troops. The nation must restore order. The military stands ready. He wants to send in troops to occupy our cities.
Whoa. Does he mean all streets?
y'all, I don't.
This is what we're up against.
Number one, like, I also feel like this kind of rhetoric makes me think that these people have like never actually like talked to the troops. Like, the troops are all from these cities. Like, they're not gonna. Yeah, I mean, like, Laura and I were having this conversation amongst each other about like the military and why I don't feel the same like ACAB sentiment towards the military, even though they've been a destructive force. Mm-hmm. And the reason I specifically don't is because, number one, there's like such an intense hierarchy that soldiers are not making the individual decision on like when to engage and when not to engage. Like, that is very much coming from like higher up. And then secondly, it's one of the only avenues for people who can't afford college, like, to go to college. And kind of it's an instant way for somebody who comes from a background where they don't get a lot of respect to like instantly get respect in society's eyes. So
I don't know. I'm not.
There's like. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like if you're asking, it's like this idea that you're going to have like kids from the Bronx come back and fire on their neighbors in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. It's like. No.
It happens, though.
It's just not going to happen.
It does. I mean, like, again, I do think the different... I'm not particularly interested in either humanizing cops or humanizing, like, particular military members in this context. I think it's much more useful to talk about both of these things as forces. Now, I do think that... And this is where it kind of can get a little bit more complicated. You know, if the... You know, if the so that we've already been shown what the cops as a force will do to the people in the cities that they are, you know, protecting and serving. I use heavy ass scare quotes with my fingers. Protecting and serving, they're serving fucking, you know, riot gear and pepper spray to, you know, people who are worried about, or people who are concerned about cops murdering people. You know, they're serving up rubber bullets into people's like, literally, there was a video of fucking cops shooting into someone's house after a curfew. Did you see that when it just light them up?
A writer for The Guardian?
Yeah, it's happened multiple times, which is like, there's many incidents we could point to. It's bad.
It is interesting to consider, like, if, like, and it's a question, because we know that the military will do the same or worse to other people and other places, but would it work the same if the military was turned inside? I don't know. I kind of am, I'm alarmed that it's come to this, I suppose. That's sort of where I'm at. The fact that we're even asked, like, I don't trust that it wouldn't. I don't trust that the military as a force would just turn around and switch sides. And people would drop out any more than I do the cops. That makes
sense? So, yeah, but I kind of disagree with you. Mm-hmm. And Scott, you're the one with the actual military experience, so please correct me if I'm wrong. First of all, individual military members are law and duty bound to not follow unlawful orders. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they...
Do they know what's unlawful?
Well, see, that's the question. Mm-hmm. It's like, that is, you know, when you're... Our military is made of up of a lot of people who are under the age of 21. Mm-hmm. It's like, are we expecting them to shoulder the burden of understanding what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable?
Right.
But there's also this idea of public opinion, because I think we've become so desensitized to police violence that seeing it almost doesn't, it's not shocking anymore when it's against our own citizens. But the idea that you're going to have the same men that we see on the news, you know, protecting our freedoms overseas, quote unquote, now in our streets against, you know, our neighbors, I think that is a deeply shocking, I think one of the pictures I've seen the most around, you know, my family members, social media, and they're generally, they're all nice, lovely humans, very liberal, not leftist. And then also a lot of the centrist accounts, was the picture specifically at the, I believe it was the Washington, the Lincoln Memorial, mm-hmm. where there's just rows and rows and rows of National Guard members in full combat gear. Mm-hmm. And people were like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. And that got a lot more reaction from people, who normally don't care so much about police violence, than I think any of the other images so far from these protests. And I think this, it's one of those things that, yeah, it could go either way, but we're already facing so much violence from police. And when I say we, I mean societally, the protesters, that they're not going to be in any more danger if the military is there. And I think having the military there forces the rest of the country, who maybe are content to not have an opinion right now, to have to choose sides real mm-hmm. quick.
I would hope that would. I mean, well, again, having it come to that is scary enough, because
absolutely
the idea that it can go, that people would just side with the military, It's not a particularly comforting position to be in. It's the stakes are so high. Not to say and to be 100% sure about all of this, letting up is not an option, because that means that they can sort of do that means that the sort of authoritarian state can do this and have our folks blink, right? And mm-hmm. when we blink, that means that they're incentivized to go that far, because it worked. And that's maintaining their position in power. It's just, it's really scary to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not a pleasant thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't find that idea any scarier than the idea of this force that, since we've been small children, and I say this as a white woman, like I understand that, you know, I was taught to that police were there to help me, and that I can, police are safe, and that I can go to police if I'm out and like I get lost, like find a police officer. And I know right. that is very much not the experience for Black people and other people of color. But that's why I think this is like, it's so hard for, you know, even the like, well-meaning white people mm-hmm. to kind of come to terms with, because in the back of our minds, we still think, oh, police are there to help. Mm-hmm. Like police are safety mm-hmm. when that is like not the case. So I think it's very scary maybe for us specifically to think of the military being there, but I can't imagine that like that is any scarier to like people who are living day to day under siege by the police department, especially now that like the fucking police have tanks now. Like, yeah. like why do you have a tank? Like,
talk about
like,
Tiananmen DC, Square.
What
right?
are you doing?
Talk about Tiananmen Square, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like there, I saw a picture. It was like a fucking tank rolling down K Street, DC, and mm-hmm. like that's where I used to like. There was like a bar I used to go to when I was living in DC, and I was like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. It was a jarring picture, but it like wasn't a military tank. It was a fucking riot cop tank. So I'm like, no, thank you. I don't like that. Yeah. The world is fucked, I guess, essentially, is yeah. what we're saying. Like, but it's like, the thing is, it's been really fucked. Mm-hmm. And so there's like a, like I said, there's like a strong sense of comfort for me that I am not screaming into the void about how fucked it is.
Yeah, you're not.
And when I say
sure.
I know that there are a lot of other people who have been, obviously, like Black Lives Matter has been a movement for so long, and the DSA has been organizing, and there's all sorts of other organizations out there who've been organizing, but it just, that felt very far away previously, and now it's like, all right, sweet. My family members are like, hey, police are kind of shitty, and I'm feeling good about that.
So yeah,
well, I guess we could talk about something that brought me a lot of joy this week.
What brought you joy?
Watching the LA police commissioner just take 12 straight hours of people telling him to go fuck himself to his face.
Hell yeah.
Via Zoom, which is like just the most humiliating way for that to happen.
I missed this.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh my God. Yes. I feel like I'm giving you a gift right now.
I feel
you
like
you have to look it up after this.
Happy
so,
birthday to me. Happy your birthday
we
to
need
me.
To find some. Yeah, no, this it did feel like an early birthday present because I do love profanity. Like deeply. We should try and get some audio. So basically the LA police commissioners had their like regularly scheduled like open comments from the people.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can imagine, people have a lot to say. Mm-hmm. And my absolute favorite one was a guy just straight yelled at them for a minute and a half and then just said, I yield my time. Suck my dick, fuck you. And then the person in charge of moving things along said, thank you, Mr. Ramirez. And I just, chef's kiss, it just brought me such an intense sense of joy. It sparked joy intensely in me. I would keep it if I was cleaning out my mental inbox. I would hold it in my hands. It would spark joy, and I would keep it.
Beautiful. So here's one. I'll play a couple of these. I have not listened to them yet. So
it's so good. Oh my God. I'm like envious of you that you get to hear this for the first time.
All right. Here is one.
Oh, I feel so bad about my mistake. We know that you're telling the truth, and that's why people are calling for your resignation. We don't believe you. We don't trust the LAPD. We don't want the LAPD in our city. And that's why each and every one of you commissioners have also failed. You should all resign.
Ooh.
Go fuck yourselves. See you all in hell.
Nice. Okay.
I just love it.
Here's another.
I support the demands of Black Lives Matter. Chief Moore, you have the most racist eyebrows I've ever seen. Keep them still and show some goddamn respect when you're being called out. We know you meant what you said last night, and I'm calling on you to be fired without pay.
Racist eyebrows. Oh, wow.
I'm like, power to her, because I would never have thought of that phrase, but like, yeah, he had racist fucking eyebrows. Like, he just did.
Yeah, and the viewer, the listeners can't see this, but there is a clock in the corner of here just showing the time, because I guess you get like 2 or 3 minutes to talk, and that's just really, it's like, takes up like a quarter, like a part, like a huge part of the screen. Here's another. Yeah.
First things first, Chief Moore, you gotta do a better job of pretending you care about this, man. I've been watching you roll your eyes and offer half-hearted smirks, acting like a teenager who's falling asleep in detention. Are you not aware of the war crimes your department's doing, or are you just that impatient to go do more of them? I see a lot of you, particularly sober off, only react when folks use profanity in their remarks. If you think curse words are bad, wait until you hear about these 600-plus murders your department has committed over the last 7 years. As long as Moore's...
600-plus in 7 years? That's a lot. That's like...
Oh, yeah.
That's like these are, 80 a year.
These are absolutely wild. This sounds like... like the best version of the Jim Rome smack off. Like,
here's Tony Hawk.
Go ahead and unmute you again.
Wait, really? Is that Tony Hawk?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, you're on.
Chief, I'm gonna level with you. This is bigger than some bad cops or protests. You have lost faith in the people of Los Angeles to serve in leadership. You have lost control of your police force, and your authority is illegitimate. Commissioners, if you're concerned at all with the safety of the people of Los Angeles, if this man does not resign, you must remove him. The situation will continue to get worse until he is gone. History will judge you by the decisions you make today. I yield my time.
Is that really Tony Hawk, though?
That was really Tony Hawk.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Tony Hawk is the best.
And figures we wouldn't recognize him.
Anyway... that's interesting. Oh, well, no, Tony Hawk actually, so no, I'm looking now and it says Tony Hawk's claiming on his Twitter that it wasn't him. So fake news.
That's because he's a humble man. I don't believe him.
I don't think it was Tony Hawk. I know Tony Hawk's voice. Played his video games a lot.
That's like, if I know anything, I know that that's about Tony Hawk.
Yeah. But you know who has very bad opinions on this? Scott.
Who?
Oh, man. Tell me who.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, it's Drew Brees.
It's Drew Brees. So we have a long and illustrious history on this program of dragging Drew Brees because we're an anti-Drew Brees show. Why are we anti-Drew Brees right now? First off,
enemy of the show, Drew Brees.
Against Drew Brees before, not for no reason, obviously, but he had some very, very awful anti-LGBT comments that he said, and he kind of hid them in. He hid them behind like religion, basically blaming it all on God. If you ask me, that's what it is. That's what he's doing. He's blaming
God.
Okay, so
he's just an American.
Yeah, he's blaming God for being a fucking bigot about LGBT folks. But now, Scott. What's Drew Brees doing?
Oh, buddy. Drew Brees is on, I don't know, man. I guess he's, like, he got a new phone, and the only stories he read are about Colin Kaepernick, because he said, I still don't support kneeling during football, during the national anthem. And it's absolutely pathetic. Like,
and why was Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem, I wonder?
Pretty relevant to what's going on right now, but basically... two-time Saint Malcolm Jenkins called him out on Instagram.
Drag him, King.
And he was like, Drew Brees, you're not dumb. You just like don't want to see what's going on. And it's great. Because Drew Brees is terrible. And I've known ever since I was on a flight and I picked up his book thinking I'd read about some cool stuff, and it was literally like a Jesus book. It was ridiculous.
I can picture that scene and just your disgust.
Mm-hmm.
You like, you get like 3 pages in and you're like, what the fuck is this?
I could have been reading.
I see this so vividly in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like how interesting sports books can be. Like I could have read about like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or maybe like Magic Johnson or somebody like that. Maybe Charles Barkley or I don't know, maybe Patrick Ewing, you know, I'd read all those, but I had to read the one about Drew Brees where he's just, doing these bad parables.
Here's the quote that Brees gave. He said, I will never agree with someone disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
Yeah. And Drew Brees is like really weird because he's like, my grandpa was in the war.
And
it's just, it's like, I don't know, man. It's just very weird.
And here's Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, I promise you this. The onslaught of shit that we have to deal with is fucking crazy right now. Drew Brees, if you don't understand how hurtful...
He's cutting a promo on him.
How insensitive your comments are, you are part of the problem. To think that because your grandfathers served in this country and you have a great respect for the flag, that everybody else should have the same ideals and thoughts that you do is ridiculous. And it shows that you don't know history. Because when our grandfathers fought for this country and served, and they came back, they didn't come back to a hero's welcome. Hmm. They came back and got attacked for wearing their uniforms. They came back to people, to racism, to complete violence. And then here we are in 2020 with the whole country on fire, everybody witnessing a black man dying at the hand, being murdered at the hands of the police, with his, just in cold blood, for everybody to see. The whole country's on fire. And the first thing that you do is criticize one's peaceful protest.
Yeah.
That was years ago when we were trying to signal a sign for help and signal for our allies and our white brothers and sisters, the people we've considered to be friends, to get involved. It was ignored. And here we are now with the world on fire, and you still continue to first criticize how we peacefully protest because it doesn't fit in what you do.
Hold on. Yeah, so yeah, this is exactly right, though. He's exactly right in the sense that, like, Drew Brees is worried right now while protesters are literally being beaten up in the streets, shot with tear gas, rubber bullets, all that stuff. After George Floyd got murdered by police, he's worried about people kneeling during the national anthem in the middle of all of this. That is such a tiny little pathetic thing to be concerned about right now, wouldn't you think?
No, but you have to understand, this actually really proves how different this specific time is, mm-hmm. like, from everything else. Because, like, if he had said this exact same thing during, what was the last, oh gosh, I don't even know what the last hashtag was, but, you know, people were saying those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just been so many, and people have been saying those things. And, mm-hmm. you know, people say, hey, like, yeah, it's really sad that this person died, but, like, let's not respect the flag. That's been something that people have said for a really long time. It's only, like, honestly, he's probably, like, has whiplash right now. Like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say that right now. Like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, if we want to keep it to New Orleans, like, the head of Knicks, which is one of our Mardi Gras crews, an all-female crew, she posted on the official Knicks Instagram story All Lives Matter and got fucking roasted. And I was like, seeing, and I'm like, glad she's getting roasted. She's like a truly terrible person.
So
but
many
I'm
people
like,
have dropped their membership of Knicks, and they're trying to kill
that parade. A lot of people
dropped
their membership of Knicks, uh-huh. And but like the idea that like this is what did it. When, for context, she has been fired from 2 separate police departments for misconduct, and stole a bunch of the Mardi Gras crew's dues money to get plastic surgery. So like,
wow,
like she's been a shit person, and so yeah. But it's like, okay, this Instagram story is like the thing that did it. So
at least
I think
it matters now, I guess. At least some of
it
this
does.
Matters
and like
now.
That's a good thing. Like people mm-hmm. are noticing, and they're like, hey, that's like, hey, that's not on. Mm-hmm. Like, but that really, like, even let's say 6 months ago, he mm-hmm. could have said that and would have had like every fucking Saints fan mm-hmm. either being like, oh, well, that's just Drew, or actively applauding him.
Yeah.
Except for Scott, who's been principal this whole time.
Yeah, Scott's the real.
Good on you, Scott.
The real
and,
eyes and ears.
Me and a common old friend of Jeff's are we've been in the lab like hiding from the sunlight so we can have these opinions. You know?
No, you're good. No, Drew Brees is kind of a nightmare, and like
say these things outside, the wind picks it up, and like your mm-hmm. neighbors get mad at you.
Anyway,
it's just bizarre.
Here's more from Malcolm.
And your beliefs, without ever acknowledging that a fact that the man was murdered at the hands of police in front of us all, and that it has been continuing for centuries, that the same brothers that you break the huddle down with before every single game, the same guys that you bleed with and go on a battle with every...
The men that protect you from getting clobbered when you're trying to drop back and throw a fucking pass, too.
...single day,
yeah.
Go home to communities that have been... decimated. Drew, unfortunately,
and he's emotional.
You're somebody who doesn't understand their privilege. You don't understand the potential that you have to actually be an advocate for the people that you call brothers. You don't understand the history and why people like me, people with my skin color, whose grandfather fought for this country, who served, and I still protested against the national anthem, but against what was happening in America and what the fabric of this country is for, or stands for. If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bullshit, it's just lip service, or it's only on the field. Because when we step off of this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Where is the place, Drew? I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Because while the world tells you that you're not worthy, that your life doesn't matter, the last place you want to hear from are the guys that you go to war with and that you consider to be allies and to be your friends. Even though we're teammates, I can't let this slide.
That was like so like deeply heartfelt from Malcolm.
Like yeah,
that
really
was
powerful.
so like very, very intense.
Yeah, and I think that takes
guts.
Such a tremendous amount of mm-hmm. it's just bravery for mm-hmm. him to come out and publicly call out someone who is such like a larger than life figure mm-hmm. in this city, and who is, I mean, obviously they're all teammates, but mm-hmm. you know, I think there is a hierarchical relationship,
oh, yeah.
like with a quarterback and, you know, the rest of the people on the team. So I think, you know, I think a lot of people do feel more comfortable coming out, but there still is like, there's a, I mean, talk about Colin Kaepernick. Like
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have a job. Like he lost his job for, you know, calling out racial injustice.
He got blackballed. and he was the one that was the example too. I mean, people did definitely show support, but there were ways that it was co-opted, and it was a little bit too little too late.
It became like a game for a while with people responding like to companies coming out with these like blanket press, them just trying to get free press, and it's like, didn't you do this? The San Francisco 49ers put out one of them, and then like one of the people that it was like, are you kidding me? Like Colin Kaepernick, like you guys are just trying to jump on the bandwagon now. Like.
And Colin Kaepernick like didn't actually call anybody out. Like he didn't call anybody out. He was just making a general statement. So, him to come out and like be like, hey, Drew Brees, like, fuck you.
And also with Kaepernick also, like he was such a light Johnny, light in the mood. Thanks, Johnny. But with Kaepernick specifically too, like he was absolutely on an island. He was kind of there was support that came in, like it was said later. But I mean, people like these low level politicians, like that clown in Kenner, trying to make hay off of like burning all the Nikes or whatever, you know.
I forgot about that.
They had the vice president like leaving the stadium. He was like, "I'm going to football, and it's going to be this team." And he was like, "I better not see it." And they did.
It's so much theater surrounding.
I forgot about that too.
Oh my god,
our country is such trash. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Mm-hmm.
Hey, where's that guy? That guy's been skulking around, huh?
Who's that?
Oh my god!
Freaking the vice president. Where's that guy been?
Mike Pence.
Oh, coronavirus.
Oh my god!
What a shame! Yeah. What a shame!
Yeah, wasn't that a thing? He like wasn't wearing a mask anywhere, and then like three people in his office tested positive.
Oh my god!
I'm like, you hate to see it.
Yeah. My deepest condolences and sympathies.
And normally hate to say that, because I'm like very, even if when I don't like a person, I'm like worried they're going to spread it to, like an essential worker or something. But I'm like, Mike Pence does not come across any black people in his day to day. Like,
look,
I'm not worried about
it. Look. They have my thoughts and prayers. Okay. That's what they have.
They do.
My thoughts and prayers.
They do. No, I don't know.
I mean, I don't pray.
Like, I have a finite amount of thoughts and prayers, and like none of them are going to hit my pen.
I mean, I don't pray, and I definitely don't think. So I got nothing for you, buddy.
Scott with a principled stance. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I'm like feeling we're a lot more serious than Tuesday's show, and I don't mean to like be making light of how shit everything is, and just like the extreme level of bravery that every single protester is showing, because they're, you know, even in New Orleans, like it's peaceful, but you never know what's going to happen. And then especially in these other cities where, you know, night after night after night, people are being brutalized by the police and they're still going out every night and, you know, making their voices heard. And even the people who aren't going out are sheltering protesters.
Yeah. They have these things going on in like Denham Springs.
I saw that and I was like, oh my, I like cried a little. For those of you who don't know, Denham Springs is like a tiny little town in central Louisiana. And like,
it's right outside
the
of
last
Baton Rouge.
Place you would think a Black Lives Matter event would take place. And I just feel like it's so, I feel so hopeful, and I feel so grateful to all of the people who've been putting in the work this whole time, because
solidarity.
Yeah. And I mean, cause there have been, I mean, I was like listening to the coup, and I'm really getting into I'm such a fucking cliche right now. I'm like listening to like nothing but the coup, Moscow Death Brigade, and like Phil Oaks. I'm like, what a nightmare. No wonder my mental health's bad. But like my favorite of the coup songs, and like, for those of you who don't know, Boots Riley. He did the most recently the Sorry for Bothering You. And then
Sorry to Bother You.
Sorry to Bother You, yeah, which is great movie. But he's like, they've been around since the 90s, and I've been listening to like the song Dig It, and like he's spitting straight fire, like in 1993, I think it was. And so it's like there have been people who have been like straight up calling out bullshit forever. And for whatever reason, I mean, all the stuff we talked about, like, it finally seems to be catching on. And I just am so grateful to them for just shouting into the void for as long as they have been, because I clearly have not been doing it even slightly as long as they have. And it's taken a fucking toll on me. So I can't imagine how they're, you know, doing. So shout out to you all.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to, sometimes it feels like these things are so big and momentous and important. Mm. And it's hard not to sound flippant because there's like no words to even, I just can't even think of the words to say to like how important the work people have been doing is. And yeah, I don't know, y'all. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Feeling introspective about it.
That's cool. Super last thing before we move on. I wanted to give one on the way out, one big fuck you to Steve King, who is one of the most openly white supremacist members of Congress who lost his primary to a guy who's like slightly more covert about being a horrible racist. So, yeah, fuck you to him.
Yeah.
Anything else? Anybody else?
I mean, I'm not much for the push to moderates, but I mean, Steve King. Could just
no, that dude.
Piss.
No. But I'm definitely here for the elimination of these horrible, terrible, like outstandingly bad pieces of trash.
Yeah, pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's an election coming up in Louisiana, so.
I'm in it.
Yeah.
I'm running, on it.
Yeah, you're running for Democratic.
I'm running for OPDEC District A.
Yeah.
I have done zero campaigning.
It's fine.
I've told many Democrats to suck a dick.
Whoa.
Recently. So I'm not.
In those words?
Making friends and influencing people very well.
There's the other book about like losing friends and alienating people.
I'm doing that. Doing that very well.
These aren't people we're dealing with.
Apparently, it's the first. There's 14 slots open, and I am like the 12th on the list alphabetically.
Whoa!
So I
out of how many?
Still have a chance.
How many are there total?
Is that the?
There's like 30-some.
Is that the criteria? Is it alphabetical? So like,
basically, the higher you are, there are these things that they say. Like there's sort of like some amount of like math to back it up, I suppose. But people who are higher on the list, the name that you would read first has like a slight advantage or something like that.
Oh, so my name like is kind of charming. I'm going to give myself credit for that. Yeah. Like Erin Huggins, I just sound pleasant on paper.
It's got the word hug in it. I mean, it's got the word hug in it. It's very
welcoming, like it's
and
just
warm embrace. And everybody wants to have a warm embrace with somebody right now when they can't.
Yeah.
It's coronavirus world.
My idea, you just change your name to one of the characters from Friends. Like Rachel, whatever her last name was. People will vote for that person.
Rather die, Scott.
Whoa.
I hate Friends.
I don't know anything about Friends, but
go off.
Let's talk. Do we want to talk about Friends? Do we want to talk about how Friends is straight up just the white version of Living Single and like the worst version of Living Single? We can chat.
Go in.
Yeah.
Do it. Do the whole thing.
Queen Latifah forever. Okay. The rest of Friends for never.
There you go.
Yeah. Pretty much. I've never been a Friends fan.
Mm-mm.
Thank you for that.
It is like kind of controversial to be a white girl and like not like Friends. Yeah. That's supposed to be like our cultural touchstone, and I feel very alienated from my peers.
They're way better.
And I don't like it. But we all have our burdens to bear.
How could they afford that apartment?
How could they? How is that couch always fucking open?
What?
Why does Ross
the same couch?
Why does
the
Ross
same couch?
Why does Ross, the largest of the Friends, not simply eat the others?
Anyway. Send all your hate mail to Jeff. Please don't come for me. It's my birthday.
At me. At me. Make me famous.
At Eminent Prof.
Send me all your hate tweets. Also send your hate money to our Patreon, patreon.com/goodmorningcomrade. You can also check us out on...
I'll spend that money through gritted teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get so pissed off about it.
We're anti-capitalist, so mm-hmm. if you send us money, it's like really painful for us.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're really
it's like
sticking
like
it to us.
It's like sending a bunch of knives at me, but they're just dollars.
I'm getting mad just thinking about it.
Anyway, you can listen to us on Tuesdays on WHIV-FM. We also have Thursday releases, and also throughout the week, we will occasionally have some extra special nuggets that we could just drop into the feed whenever. Follow us, like, fave, subscribe. More information, goodmorningcomrade.com. You can also get us on Twitter, at Comrade Morning. Aaron, tell the people bye.
Yes. Bye.
Scott, tell the people bye.
Love you. Bye.
All right. Love everybody. Bye. We just finished recording, and holy shit.
Literally just finished.
We just finished recording, and we were talking about how, like, cops have, like, acted less a fool here than they had other places. And then literally the first thing I look at when we turn the show off is that cops are just tear gassing protesters on these bridges that they've taken. And yeah, cops acting a fool here too. So
I spent like 5 minutes talking about how New Orleans police aren't as bad as all the other police.
But it turns out that all cops.
It turns out the all and ACAB. So we just needed to come back on and let you know because I feel foolish.
Yes, my friend Chris just posted, cops tear gassed us on the Crescent City Connection. Tear gas hurts.
Yikes. Yikes. Who wants to bet, though, that was Jefferson Parish or the Louisiana State Police? Because
they're cops. They're
NOPD,
cops.
Well, I'm just saying, NOPD is under consent decree, but right. Louisiana State Police are not.
All cops.
So anyway, don't get, well, get tear gassed, but don't, just use water. Just water to wash.
Be safe out there, folks. Jesus Christ. I'm just looking at these videos and I'm just seeing just these, this fog of tear gas right now.
Maybe we'll have Robert pop on and do like a little mini episode because he has all sorts of things to say about the best ways to prepare to be CS gassed. So we can have him come on and give his tips and tricks.
Okay. If he's up for it.
Yeah, not tonight.
Yeah.
At some point, though.
All right. Well, that's
well, everybody, stay safe. Try to stay safe anyway.
Yeah, be careful out there. If you're out in the streets tonight, tomorrow, the next night, whatever, in solidarity, you know what? Here's something. If you have a bail fund locally that's getting people, because I can't imagine people are not being brought in when I see tear gas flying. So if there are any bail funds that we could support locally, drop us a line at contact@goodmorningcomrade.com or just message me at Eminent Prof or message Robert at Comrade Morning on Twitter and we will shout that out. We'll amplify it and we'll do what we can to get anything. Huggin' Not Buggin', we can do that too.
Yes, Huggin' Not Buggin'. But also, if you do get arrested, just refuse your TB test. If everybody refuses their TB test, they don't have enough room for isolating everybody. So
there you go. So, shout out to all the folks that are out there that are fighting it. We can't back down. All right, everybody. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Pon la 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 pon